Well, you know enough about me by now to know that I'm a bit of a participatory preacher. That means that I try somehow to get you involved in the gospel. And so I was sharing with Mackie that perhaps one of the ways to do that is for me to get some good St. Bart's dirt and to spit on it and mix it up and go around like Jesus did and put it on your eyes so that you could see. Well, you know who won that argument. She said, "You can't do that. You're liable to get dirt in their eyes." And I said, "Okay, you're right. Can't do that. But I can do something that we all have done, and the children in the congregation probably still do some of these things. We've all practiced being blind since a child, since that very first hide and seek, right? And there have been various different other games that we played. I bet none of you has ever been blind and tried with a stick to knock the piñata. Has anybody done that? Yeah, a couple of you. It's great fun if you get it. But most of the time you wind up twisting yourself around in a circle. Well, this morning I do want you to become blind. And so I'm inviting you to take your hands and cup them a little bit and to very gently press your eyelids down and to put your hands over your eyelids, not pressing behind on them, but with your cupped fingers, and just place them in the darkness. And try to pull the fingers together so the least little bit of light can come through. And I want you to pull. We do this in meditation sometimes. Pull into your vision something that you love very, very dearly. And almost like the film that clicks and the machine that clicks, see that picture in the darkness. And now let it pass from your sight and close and open your eyes. It's a little disorienting when you first open your eyes, when you've been in blindness. I know I'm traveling around the island this time. I've been acutely aware of the bright lights that shine in my eyes. And they don't shine in my eyes normally as a moment of discomfort, but they are blinding when I crest the hill and the other car crests the hill at the same time, and suddenly their low beam lights become high beam lights, and you know, you can even be blinded by the light, I've discovered. To see is a complicated thing. Richard Lester will tell you more about this. In fact, he's going to set up a little consultation stand outside if any of you all have any eye issues that you want to discuss with him. To be born blind creates great difficulty today in ophthalmology because you can reconnect the optic nerve. You can put in chips to help the brain see again. But if you have been born blind and suddenly images appear, you don't know what they are because you've never seen them before. And so for this blind man who was born blind to suddenly have this vision is more extraordinary the more we learn about the way the eye functions and more about optical nerves and chips and so forth. It's even more amazing that he could see and talk with people and know that they were Pharisees and wonder if this man who had healed them was the Messiah. It's even more extraordinary than we give it credit. To get to this point, there is something called insight. It's a sightedness, just like being born blind and seeing again. There is an insightedness that we experience along the way. And in this gospel, it's kind of extraordinary to me that this man was able to sense, thank you, Audrey, thank you, to sense and have an insight of him for himself when he said to the Pharisees, who again questioned, You don't want to become one of his disciples, do you? For why are you so interested in him? And so you see, we see the blind man suddenly not just contending with the visual faculties of life, but we see him begin to sense and with insight consider the visual faculty within. The fourth Sunday of Lent asks us the same question that one of the Pharisees finally asked. It's not us who are blind, is it? For he too began to have insight into what was going on about their urgency to disprove Jesus, at the same time finding that disproval was not going to work, and that indeed something new had happened here. For those of you who know the relationship of Jesus and the Pharisees, they were very close, unlike the Sadducees. The Pharisees took very seriously the law of Moses, and they knew Jesus was a man of the law, as well as just something new. And in fact, it was one of the Pharisees who came to him under the cover of darkness to want to know more. So you and I are asked to know about this, and somehow begin to see insightly something more than we have had to look at before. They talk about learning things, and learning goes through some steps and stages. The first thing is data. We're all flooded with data in our day and time. We carry around these devices, and these devices feed us lots of data, and sometimes we are so overdated that we just turn the data off. We don't want to listen anymore. Overload. But if you do contend with data around certain interests and subjects that you might have, recently mine has been in the world of DNA and the development of human beings. If you do pursue that, then you begin to try to understand what you're reading. And you begin to then try to comprehend it in terms of what does this mean to my life now? And that's where a lot of the times we stop. But there is a fourth level. The Hebrews knew this. The Pharisees knew it. And you and I do it. We know it, but we don't do it often. And that is to move to the fourth level of learning, which is wisdom. And wisdom, by characteristic, is able to take what we have comprehended and understood and able to look at it in terms of its application in the near term as well as its application in the long term. Our vision is able to take in and comprehend for our sake and for other people's sake the consequences of this particular learning. That was the job of the Pharisees. That was the job of the people who held the law, the people for whom or the people who had the most difficulty with Jesus. Because when you suddenly begin to see, you get disoriented, like the shining light, like coming from darkness into light, there's a certain moment of disorientation, and we have to somehow seek and find equilibrium. The gospel proclaims, and you will find if you pursue the insight, the level of wisdom about what it is to understand and appropriate this light of God that suddenly shone on us in a new and special way. And when you do, you're going to feel uncomfortable because it's going to change things for you. Just as it changed the blind man, just as it began to change that Pharisee when he said, wait a minute, this is not about us, is it? We thought it was about him. And you begin then to look into your darkness and find the light that sets you free. That's the reason I asked you to see if you could pull into your blindness that which you love the most. Because when we're able to look at that love and understand that it doesn't come from us, that sometimes we're blind to love around us. We are blind to the wonderful life and experiences that we've been given. We say we take it for granted, which means we're not considering it. We are blind to so much around us. But when we pause, when we give God that one little moment to creep in with some light into our darkness, we discover that this God of light loves us, continues to stick by us, does not give up on us, and we will have not only that love in this life, but that love will continue in our life forever. So, get used to it. Start looking at it. See what it does. See what you discover. Several years ago, I was given a commission by a person to do her daughter a painting. And Elizabeth and I met a couple times. It was supposed to be a birthday present, but it wasn't a surprise present. And so we met a couple times at her favorite spiritual place on Cape Cod, a place called Bass Hole. And I met with her three times to try to figure out what it was spiritually that was so important about this place to her. And I expected, because beautiful Cape Cod, blue skies, lovely vegetation, marshes, blue water, sand. And she surprised me. The very first time I said, "What is it that draws you to this place?" And she said, "It's the mud." And I went, "Really? The mud?" And so, because I remember teachers of my past that said everything has at least 3 to 5 different colors in it. So when you look at mud, you just see sort of brown, ochre, umber sort of colors. And so I sat in front of a marsh one day, and all I did was to look for the longest time at the mud. And in that looking, I discovered 5 colors. There were blues. And there were reds, and there were oranges, and there was even a dapple of yellow every once in a while. And suddenly, that marsh began to come alive in a new and different way. The gospel asks us to look at things in new and different ways. Because, yes, we've been born blind, and we have to practice, 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 in order to see the light of God in everything and everyone. So I bid you the rest of a happy Lent. As you take participatory things, I'm sorry I didn't give you mud this morning, but as you take these things with you in your journey, remember the call is to see, to look. As Paul Cézanne, the artist, said, the task of a great artist, the chief task, is not to learn to draw better, it's to learn to see. The secret of all of your faith journey is to see and to look. And God will not disappoint you in that journey. Amen.